Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox, your Monday through Friday rants, raves, and reviews talk radio show with the top stories in news, politics, and pop culture. Join your host, entrepreneur Scott Fullerton, and co-host, actor and writer Craig Hurley, right here at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live, or subscribe and download on your favorite podcast distributors, including Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple and Google Podcasts. You're also invited to call in and share whatever is on your mind at 347-989-0126 during the live shows. So here we go. Stand up on our soapbox and let's start talking.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. It is Thursday, November 14th, 2019. Thanks so much for calling in. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. In just a couple of seconds, we'll have my co-host, actor and writer, Mr. Craig Hurley. I am still feeling under the weather today and can barely talk, but I did a big snuffle before we started here. So I think we're going to have a guest co-host coming on just a little bit. But I hope your week is going so good. One more day till the weekend. Mr. Craig Hurley, how the heck are you?
I'm doing okay. Dude, you sound like, I'm trying not to swear, but you don't sound too good, man. What's going on?
I still got this cold, and I gave it to Mama Linda. Mama Linda's down for the count today, so it's not a good household over here in Northeast Ohio.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow,
the Bulletin
House
is under the weather in Northeast Ohio. We got Mama Linda down in her bed, me down here in the chair. And
I'm sorry that everybody's sick.
It's all right. It only lasts 2 to 3 days. So this is my third day on it. I'm hoping it'll be gone mostly by tomorrow. I'm trying the best I can. But, hey, we have a special guest co-host today, so I'm excited. Let's go ahead and bring her in.
You got me a special guest co-host?
I do. You might even have heard of her before. She's an actress and a wonderful all-around person. You may have heard of her. Her name is Miss Katie Barberi. Katie Barberi, how the heck are you?
Really?
I'm awesome.
You're funny, Scott.
Craig Hurley, have you heard of me? It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to meet you.
What's going on,
Katie? It's a pleasure to cyber meet you, Craig Hurley.
There you go.
Who are you?
Scott.
Who are you? I've never heard of you. Who are you?
Have you not? You've heard of me your whole life.
Oh, God.
Scott, we are so sorry to hear this. I am not feeling too terribly great. I mean, it's just right in there. The change of temperature, no matter what part of the world you're in, is something that, you know, occurs obviously.
Yeah, and it's been pretty drastic. It's been pretty drastic lately.
Yeah, certainly on the Western Hemisphere. It's a little nuts. And I typically, in October, the end of October, will start to feel a little under the weather. I already know what the signs are, a little sore throat, little, you know, feeling of fatigue, that sort of thing. And I've gotten some really, really good tools to try to kick it. But it just is amazing to me how many people this time of year experience this. And I'm just so sorry. And I hear your mom isn't feeling well either. And we just absolutely chill and take care of yourself, take care of each other, have soup delivered. And just the only thing that you can do is just rest. And I don't know what kind of medication.
That's
you're
it. I've been sleeping and drinking soup and just relaxing.
Exactly.
But I appreciate you stepping
okay,
in
drinking,
today.
Drinking soup definitely helps. I know this is an old wives' tale, and most people don't. It's not like you can just do it in the shower, breathing steam. You literally take a pot of water, of boiling water, and do not burn your face with the steam. But you take a pot of boiling water. And you got to tell people this, you know, don't get too close to the steam while you're breathing it in. Put a towel over your head so that it traps the steam around your face. Don't put it completely over your face, but like kind of like you have a tent over you. And while you're breathing the steam in and turn off the pot of boiling water, because that's what actually creates more steam. So turn off the pot of boiling water and then breathe in through your nostrils, through your nose, if you can. and you know, into your lungs too. But do not burn your esophagus. Do not burn your nose. Do not burn your face with the steam. So, you know, do it. Don't go right in
there.
Right. And,
well, I will attempt all
bit.
Those. But I'm going to go ahead
it
and let myself off.
Instantly kills germs and instantly kills viruses. So
I like it. Well, I'm going to chill and let you guys converse amongst yourselves. If anybody wants to call in, I will be manning the radio station here, so you can give us a call at 347-989-0126. I will jump in if you have any callers.
Watch what
and
you
otherwise,
say, Katie.
If you have any questions,
he's
going to
put Katie on mute.
Me on Facebook.
Out of nowhere, there'll be a muted Katie.
Well, we just lost Katie, so she just dropped out.
Oh.
So hopefully she'll jump
Where'd
in just a second. But I don't know.
Oh, great.
She
I'm talking to myself.
You are talking to yourself, but I'll stay on for a couple more seconds, see if we get her back on here. Yeah, I'll let you guys run the show. Ben wants to call in 347-989-0126. And here she is back again. You guys have fun, and I'll be listening in.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. It cut off. Anyway, so we wish Scott and his mom and everybody else that's suffering through this, in this part of the world at least, a speedy recovery. It just hits everybody so hard, except for Craig Hurley, who I have had.
Where did you drop Where did you drop out of the show?
Oh,
just
I don't
now?
Know. I was talking about
steam and breathing in?
Yeah. I was talking up a blue streak, and I said, you know, that some people put in eucalyptus leaves or whatever.
Oh,
but,
so you're talking to yourself.
Said,
yeah, we didn't hear any
of
that.
Nobody cares. I was all by my lonesome saying all this. But anyway, you know, so, yeah, it's
yeah,
just, everybody
if you
gets hit.
You put some in the boiling water, put some salt in there, put some eucalyptus leaves, you know, make it like this.
You can.
This nice
you
little
know, some
medical
some,
stew. Yeah.
Exactly. But you when you prepare the steam for me on many occasions, it didn't have anything else in it, and it really does help. So I
yeah,
strongly
no,
suggest
it was just
it.
A pot of boiling water. I didn't put anything in it.
Exactly.
Are you there, dude? Or is it me again?
Yeah. Hello.
All right.
Can you hear me?
No, it's probably me.
You got me?
I'm probably having technical difficulties too. Yeah, we can hear you, Kate.
Okay. No, I can hear you fine. So I hear that you are very, very busy, and I hear that we absolutely
oh, you know, you know what's going on with me, but yeah, I can't. I can't disclose anything.
Hey, I may know. I know many things, but apparently, nothing can be said on any level about why you are so busy. The only thing that I will say cautiously is that, I enjoy every minute, my dear Craig Douglas Hurley. From the minute I first laid eyes on you when I was 17 years old, I knew that you were meant for very, very special, great things.
This is
and,
Love Letters on Left to Straight Radio, standing on my soapbox.
No,
we're now doing
No, come on,
post-
man. No, you know, this isn't
Thank
that,
you,
this
Katie.
Isn't about that kind of
I'm sorry. Okay, I'll go ahead. I'm just turning red. Nobody can see it because, you know, we're not on film, but whatever.
Right. No, you know, it's human being to human being. I knew from the minute I saw you that you are meant to be acknowledged by greatness, and you are meant to be in great, extraordinary situations. So that's where I'm going to leave it. And, have an amazing time, and I'm very, very happy for you.
I am having an amazing time. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. And that's where the NDA stops this conversation. Anyway.
Yeah.
Also
sadly,
we have to be very careful.
I can't say
about,
anything.
No, and we have to be very careful about how jubilant we are about anything. On this day that is, you know, tragedies happen all
I
over
mean,
the
with
world
the,
all day long.
But with the school shooting,
The United States once again is in the throes of mourning over this, and we have to be real careful with how we handle it because it's ongoing. It just happened today. They're still investigating. But apparently, last I read or was able to get any kind of update, this was a school shooting in California. There were 6 students that were hit, including the shooter, who today was turning 16 years old, if I'm not mistaken, a young Asian American student who apparently was feeling under a tremendous
amount
of
pressure. I think it's really interesting how the media, I mean, you just even said it, young Asian American, all of a sudden, how they're defining. Usually it's not defined, and mainly because it's usually white kids. So, you know, have it defined this way, it was really shocking to me, actually, when I first heard the news, because they're like, a 16-year-old Asian shooter. And I'm like,
heard the same thing.
You know, yeah.
You heard the same thing.
And I was like,
what?
Why are you giving this a race thing automatically? It was really weird to me. So anyway,
we have to be really careful with how we talk about it. But it just is. I guess it's any time that the horrible thing is how this is kind of becoming the norm, and the last thing we ever want to be as a society is desensitized to all of this.
Well, it's not. Okay, I've been trying to say this for a while, and you know this about me. Just pretend everybody's got a gun. Okay, we live in the United States, right? Of America, right? So everybody's got a gun. Just pretend everybody's got a gun. Okay. So now, do you want? Because I went to school in downtown Chicago in high school, and I remember that there were different. And this is 30 years ago. And I remember there were different high schools downtown Chicago that already had X-ray machines, so that they could, and they had wands so they could find metal, so they could find guns and knives and all that stuff. So this has been happening for a long, 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 long time. And we have to just recognize that. Now, there are different areas like Nevada. You can walk down the strip with a gun as long as it's exposed, and most people conceal them anyway. So you just can't walk into a casino with a gun.
We're talking about a school.
You can't walk into different establishments. We're seeing it all over the United States now where it's like no guns, and you see it posted before you enter any establishments. So leave your gun outside. Understand that everybody's got one, and people are going to flip out at some point for whatever reason that they do that. And we just have to learn to protect ourselves, to react. And also, yes, I do believe there should be some gun legislation. However, if somebody wants to get a hold of a gun for whatever reason, they will get a hold of a gun. We have 600 million guns in the United States.
Absolutely 100% true. That's 100%. But all of that
legislation would have stopped this 16-year-old from getting a gun and shooting someone. It wasn't going
to
happen.
There is legislation to stop this.
They just put legislation in.
There is legislation to stop a 16-year-old from getting a gun. He cannot legally purchase a gun until he's 18.
No.
But he's still got it. You are absolutely 100% correct. And that is a concern. That is a concern that even though, you know, with gun legislation, which I believe in 100%, you have to try to do something.
You have to try to do something in order to keep people who may not be safe for society to have a gun legally. You have
some
to make
sort
it
of
really
system.
Difficult for them to get the gun. But
some
they're
sort
still
of vetting system.
It.
But all of that said, you're absolutely right. The minute there's a vetting system, there is a black market that will open up even further than it already exists, which the arms black market is insane.
It's huge.
But the black market will open up even more when certain measures of gun control are put in place that prevent individuals who have some kind of a record from being able to get a hold of one. But some sort of measure has to be taken. All of that said,
I know I know Scott would know this. It's the maker of the AR-15. I'm not sure which. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if I heard this exactly, that they stopped making them. But they're already out there. And that's
they're
the military. You know, that's the military.
And
AR-15.
We're talking about children. There are six children that have been shot.
And I know, like, Dick's Sporting Goods and Walmart, you know, I know those places have stopped selling things and certain guns, if not all of them. So,
yes,
you know,
which is a big deal because that's a lot of revenue. So good on them.
Absolutely. Absolutely a great move on part of those corporations.
Yeah. So we don't know a lot about what was going on with this young man. He did kill himself along with two other students. These are the reports that we have right now, or what I was last able to. Please forgive me. Anyone listening who has an update is welcome to call in.
Any more updates?
347-989-0126. At this moment, we're talking about two children.
That was really
dead.
Professional.
Thank you. Well, how many times do I have to hear it? How many times do I have to hear it before I know
what it
is?
She just rattled that number off. 347-989-0126. She just rattled that off. That was
Come on, man. 25 years in the telenovela industry, and I'm going to have trouble with a phone number. You got to be kidding me. That's 347-989-0126, just in case you need
it. Excellent.
If
you want to turn this into a bilingual broadcast, please call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got it. So we're not sure, but at this moment it looks as though, unfortunately, two young people dead, one male and one female, and three injured, and then this young man that killed himself after having hit these five students. Of course, we cannot see the video. We should not be able to see the video. Why would we want to see the video? That is for investigation only. But right now, there doesn't seem to be. It seems to have been random. And we just, our hearts and our
the people
positive
that,
energy.
The people that he shot, it seems to be random, yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be random that, I'm sorry, I'm being more clear, that there was no reason to particularly seek them out.
To pick out these individuals.
As far as any particular, exactly, thoughts that he might have had, but rather just five kids picked out and then did this to himself. So
I know families in Santa Clarita. In fact, I raced at Saugus Speedway, and this is Saugus High School. I raced when I was when they had a Saugus Speedway. It got closed down in the earthquake because the entire bleacher section collapsed. So it was pretty nasty. I actually know families that live in this community, and I'm so like torn on. You know, there's such a combination of emotions going on with me when it comes to this.
Yeah, with everyone.
You know,
We're all in mourning for these children. We're all in mourning for their families. We're sending positive energy to the children that are hospitalized right now. And it just, here's the thing. If we have to take measures to protect the children in school, they cannot assume everyone has a gun and is going to come in and shoot them up. This is supposed to be a safe space.
Yeah, I hate all that,
their minds.
That shooter drills and all of that. I'm just like, why? I don't, you know. What do we do then?
Scrap? I mean, security.
You got to prepare them. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Everybody should be prepared for that. But how do you prepare a 6-year-old? You know, how do you? I mean, somebody's probably going to come in here and shoot you. Why would you want to do that?
The Sandy Hook tragedy we're talking about children. We're talking about beings that have barely been on the planet for a certain amount of days, you know, less than 2,000 days
on the
planet.
As far as I understand, learn something and play.
Right.
I was interested in what was going on in the fish tank.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's horrifying, and it's horrifying to watch these teenagers
not get their hands on a gun to protect themselves.
We don't want them to get their hands on a gun to protect themselves. However, we need to talk about it. We need to talk about security in the schools. We need to talk about teachers. I mean, it sounds insane, but truly, maybe arming the teachers, maybe teaching the teachers something about
I don't know. We talked about it before. I know some teachers, too, that there's no friggin' way that they should be armed. There is absolutely no way. I mean, they were already abusive in the first place in their process. If you could vet those people. But I know a lot of teachers, too, that are on all sorts of – they have all sorts of disorders. They're just people. So – you know, what
well,
then? I mean,
people.
Okay, I know a lot of teachers that are taking a lot of drugs so that
no,
they
no,
can
of course.
Actually
no, and it's
function.
Like everyone else.
So,
yeah, exactly. But
some of them may not even qualify.
Something's got to give. There has to be. This is a safe space for these children to develop their minds and to develop their social skills and to prepare for the life ahead of them.
Every single school should be that. But then doesn't that mean that the community should be protecting them? So, yes, there should be some type of armed guard. I don't know if an armed guard at this point would have helped. And it should be a police officer. This is a community. This is a school. So, and
yeah.
Most schools,
well, then
what
do you do about private schools then?
Private schools can usually afford their own security. And I would recommend working with sheriff's departments on that. Sheriff's departments are usually associated with actually being a part of the community because they're mainly elected as opposed to a police department. So
it's very sad that this is a world that we live in now. It is very, very sad. I feel horrible for these children. I feel horrible for any child who would have to fear having anything happen to them when they're going to school. The only thing we needed to worry about when we were kids was being careful when crossing the street and not getting in a fight with so-and-so and not cheating because you could get caught. And the normal things that are developing our sense of safety and morals and ethics. But now to have to worry about this seems like an almost insurmountable problem, and there has to be some sort of measure. Maybe it's very sad. It's very sad that this is a world we live in now. But maybe security in every school is what's necessary.
Well,
that's just that's
and
just
I also saw. I only saw this once because the police don't know motive. At least it's not clear yet. But I saw that he had gotten a B in a math class. And it was something about his family not – like they expect him to get straight A's.
Pressuring.
And that they expect him to get straight A's. Like they're blaming his family for being too strict on him for this. And that's what made him crack.
Well, there's no way. There's no way to do that. There's no way to do that. Because even if
– once and I don't – I can't verify any of that. And the police still, on every other source, are like, yeah, no, we don't know a motive yet. So
we don't know. No, no. And they really shouldn't release anything right now. But either way.
We lost Katie.
Oh, we did. I wasn't sure.
We lost Katie. Yep. She'll be back on hopefully in a second here.
Yeah.
A good conversation. Yeah. I mean, it's a horrible thing to have to talk about. I do want to say the one reason I think they did mention the race of the shooter was because it was still an active shooting scene. The person ran away, and they're trying to give a description of the guy because he wasn't at the school. So I think that's why saying Asian probably was not racially motivated. But it was more for identification motivated.
He ran away from the school and then shot himself?
He did. He shot himself, and supposedly he's still alive but in grave surgery thing, so he probably may not make it. But supposedly he's still alive.
I don't know if it was an accident, but NBC reported a couple hours ago that he had died. I don't know if that was an accident.
He might have.
We have to be really, really careful right now because there's so many conflicting reports.
Right.
Anyway, our hearts and our and our thoughts and our positive energy.
To say, that's
and our love
why
goes
I think they might
camp.
Have said he was Asian. It wasn't more a race thing. It was
because
more because
he
of an active
seen
shooter situation. He
from
was
the scene.
On the
okay.
loose. Yeah, he was on the loose to give an identification. But good show, guys.
I thought he had. I thought he shot himself. I thought he shot himself though. Right there. Like he
apparently not. Apparently not. But
yeah,
there,
he
but
ran
there,
two and a half miles
thing.
Away, 2.5 miles
wow.
to a house. They don't know if it was his house or someone else's house. But he went through a field.
Wow,
and
I had
was,
not,
and,
I
and
had not seen that.
All right,
wow.
you guys are back on. Here we go.
Right.
Cool.
And so, you know,
hey, thanks,
our,
Scott,
our,
for that info.
Yeah, it's there's so many conflicting reports. It's going to take days to find out exactly what happened, and then weeks and months and years to process it. And I just our hearts and our positive energy and our love go out to these families and all these children in this school and in every school, you know, everyone's family, everybody that's worried about their kid tonight. You know, it's tough. And so we are
yeah,
sorry.
Hug
about
your
that.
Hug your kids, you know, they
exactly.
are your kids and pay attention to them. You know, they are your kids. You know, treat them well. They're your kids.
So the cool thing about
and they're your kids. They're not my kids. They're your kids. So
exactly.
treat them well.
Exactly. Yeah. Stop getting so mad at them. Oh, stupid stuff.
Kids
remember,
do
you weren't
stupid shit all the time.
You weren't so
man.
Perfect either. You know. So no one here was perfect
you know?
Or an angel or any of those things. Everybody
yeah.
made mistakes. So it's
making dumb
tonight
mistakes.
Might be a
don't
good
be so
night.
Hard just, on them.
Exactly. Just tell them that you love them because. It's a lack of love that so many people feel in all over the world, but in this part of the world that is creating so much pain in these young people that they feel they have to do, you know, these things. When a young person commits suicide, we're all very sad about it in this and the fact that they were unable to deal with the bullying, whatever bullying they were experiencing, if that was in fact the case, a lack of love, a rejection, a lack of kindness for others and how it affects people. So, it's a good night to reach out to your kids and tell them, you know, I love you, but no matter what, and no matter who you are and no matter what my ideas are of what you should become or how I'm projecting my frustrations onto you or whatever it is. I want you to know that I love you just for the human being that you are and how you've enriched my life and everyone else's life around you by coming onto this planet. Seriously, because there's a big lack of love and empathy. And, you know, happily we're living in a world now where this is being exposed, where this is being talked about, where the taboo is being talked about. And that's very important as well. You know, the only way knowledge is power, and the only way we're going to learn how to deal with one another as human beings is by actually thinking about, you know, the other person's position and the other person's pain and what the other person is going through, not just thinking about them and observing them with our point of view about what they should be, rather understanding, you know, what's going on with them and why they may feel victimized by any number of situations. And to that end, so the Hollywood Roundtable, the Hollywood Reporter Roundtable, which you know that I am a really big fan of, has done its annual Drama Actress Roundtable. And this year they had Jennifer Lopez, Renee Zellweger, Laura Dern, Scarlett Johansson, Lupita Nyong'o, and Aquafina. So it was a very diverse group of very powerful, extraordinary women and actresses. Talking about their experiences in the industry, and a lot of the focus was on sexual harassment and sexual exploitation of these actresses. And that's something that I grew up in the industry and was so taboo to even discuss on any level for so many years. And so we're just really thankful to them. Jennifer Lopez talked about how a director was at her costume fitting, which actually directors really don't have a reason to be at a costume fitting. We know this as actors. They get the picture of what the actor looks like in the costume fitting and in the character and then make their changes.
Yeah, they
but,
take a Polaroid, or they used to take a Polaroid and then send it over.
Now it's an iPad.
So they could see it. But now it's a cell phone or an
exactly.
iPad or a smartphone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
some people
you take
are still old
with it
school and
you immediately email it. Yeah, well, sorry.
No,
I did Chicago PD last year.
Okay.
It's all smartphones at this point. I don't see anybody.
I don't see anybody
taking Polaroids and trying to send them over to the director on set.
The point, because there is one, is that the director was at the costume fitting for Jennifer Lopez. She wouldn't say, I'm just going to plow through. She wouldn't say what film or what director we were talking about. Of course,
well, I'm just wondering
project.
What novella you're working on right now, Katie, that is sending Polaroids over to the set from wardrobe.
I am not available for your ridicule. No, I was actually talking about, I mean, you never know if you're dealing with like an old school film noir director or something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, No. I get it. They just like it,
you know, and they're still shooting in 35.
Well,
I'm sure a guy like
Tarantino is because he doesn't even allow cell phones on set. So
exactly.
You know, how he's getting, because he can't have one if he doesn't
exactly.
want one.
Exactly. So now, what I am saying actually doesn't sound so crazy, does
it? Right.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Maybe
somebody out there is still using a Polaroid.
Exactly. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Regardless
okay.
of what type of
All right, guys. Well,
picture,
we are halfway through the show, and I'm going to take
what?
A little time.
Wow.
To jiggle my Polaroid for a couple of minutes so I can get the picture to come out here. So I'm going to shake it really hard. And we'll play a little Preston Wiggins with Into the Unknown. We'll be back in this little bit with Standing on My Soapbox right here on Left and Straight Radio.
Wow.
Real and fancy.
All right, so we're back. Katie, I kept cutting you off. Are you going to finish your thought?
Yes, and I am not going to discuss what type of picture we were referring to under any circumstances, because the worst part about this story is that it was not about photographs. The point being, because I actually did have one, that Jennifer Lopez talked about a director on an undisclosed director and an undisclosed project.
Are we still
project.
Talking about Polaroids?
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
go
we
ahead.
Are not.
The
director was at the costume fitting and asked her to take her top off, but not her top and leave her bra on. Just take it off.
Just take the top
so that
off.
He, just take a whole kit
wow.
off so that he could see what that was going to look like on camera. And she said, now I haven't seen this. This is stuff that I've read. So please forgive me if I misquote, but she went a little Bronx on him and said, we're not on set. And she stood up for herself and didn't allow it. And of course, his excuse was that he needed to see what they looked like so he could start imagining how he was going to like them or what they were going to look like on camera and whatever.
That's
you know,
very Fame. The movie Fame shows a scene like that.
No, Emmy Rossum also talked about on a past THR roundtable. She talked about how this was at least not as blatant, honestly, but it was, you know, it was still pretty bad. But she talked about how a producer asked to meet with her and said, you know, you have the job. I don't need to, you know, test you acting wise under any circumstances. You're Emmy Rossum. You've proven yourself. I just need to see you in a bathing suit because I'm going to be photographing you scantily clad. And so I need to see how you look. Well, you know, pretty much, I mean, you can tell a woman's figure just by what she's wearing, unless she's wearing a gunny sack. You don't need to do that. So she said no as well. And then Scarlett Johansson was also on this roundtable with Jennifer Lopez and talked about how her image was hypersexualized when she was in her teens and early 20s and how she's still trying to combat that as an actress. And I thought of Scarlett Johansson almost from the beginning as a kind of modern day Marilyn Monroe, if you will, but not in the way. Actually, Marilyn Monroe or Norma Jean Baker was a wonderful young actress. She just was not.
Right.
She had a terrible upbringing.
She was never given. Yeah, but
she was
never really given an opportunity. I mean, they put her in a bunch of comedies and had her play the same type of ditzy blonde
a
character.
Ditzy, this sort
and,
of thing. And that wasn't how she spoke at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, and that wasn't actually
remember,
her.
No, not at all. And she developed that persona, and it worked for her. But she
too made
many
her millions
of, the wrong,
of dollars.
Right, but too many of the wrong people thought that was who she actually was and used her.
Right.
And so that was a horrific thing that we saw happen in this industry. But Scarlett Johansson, a much smarter, more savvy and more aware version of that type of story where we're just dealing with an actress who is being hypersexualized for projects but maybe doesn't represent that in her private life at all. And I remember
right.
when I saw her as a young woman, she was in a Woody Allen film called Match Point. And it was she was playing the young woman that an engaged man and then married man to Emily Mortimer's character, actually, is having an affair with. And I'm not going to give away the end of the movie in case anyone wants to see it. But that character was so hypersexualized. I mean, she really was representing just basically sensuality and sexuality and all of that to an absolute nth degree. And Emily Mortimer was playing a character that was less sexy and more cerebral and what have you. And to think that, you know, someone like Scarlett Johansson, who we know is extremely smart, was in this position where she kept taking these roles that were what was offered to her as a modern day sex symbol. And so now she's really trying to work on that as a woman, you know, in front of the camera, these actresses talking about in front of the camera and behind the camera, kind of fighting this stereotype of, you know, I'm here for you to think of me in a sexual manner. These are extremely intelligent young women and brilliant performers in what they do and brilliant business women. I wish I had their business sense. I truly do. And so they are not to be trifled with. They are sex symbols only in the sense that anyone who may look at them would think to themselves, you know, what a beautiful creature, because physically they're very attractive. But these are women with huge brains and with an ability to be huge role models for women in this world and to be admired and to be respected. And so I appreciate that we're now living in a world where they feel like they can talk about this. You know, where back in Norma Jean Baker in Marilyn Monroe's time, she could not talk about it. It was completely hidden. So, you know,
that's
we're thankful.
That's how I feel about you. Super sexy, but huge brain.
Oh.
Absolutely huge brain.
Thank you so much, Scrap.
And you use
that. Well, you know, I try, but like, not the business savvy of you know, a Jennifer Lopez or a Scarlett Johansson. Evidently, you know, they're on another level in this industry, and so one can only hope to emulate them, and be able to achieve even, you know, some of what they've been able to achieve. But it's nice to see a round table where, you know, it's not just people can relate to these women as actresses that they admire, and but also, you know, so many women in different workplaces in the world experience sexual harassment and being hypersexualized and what have you. And so it's nice to see them be able to talk about it. You know, it's nice to live in a world now where we can discuss these things and maybe get better and become better. So anyway, that was cool to find out that they had that.
Well, I've been saying this for a while. Women outnumber men in the world at this point. Especially
that.
In the United States. It's something like, you guys, it's 7 million more women than there are men in the United States. So with those numbers, you guys, or you women, sorry, I shouldn't call you guys. Women, please, do something.
We have
the number.
We are.
So, you know, you have the numbers to change vote. I mean, not change votes, but make sure that things go a certain direction. And I feel, even though lately there's some women that aren't representing the way they should, first lady, you know, need to represent the way they actually should as a compassionate and ethical human being towards other humans. You know, majority of women are more compassionate than guys, from what I can tell. Even though lately it doesn't seem like that, there's a little tiny bit of a shift. But you know, I feel that this place would be a more compassionate place, like our world, if women were actually in charge of it. Although I'm sure Cleopatra, especially Cleopatra number 9 or number 7, the one that we always talk about, she had to be fierce, dude, in order for, and I call you dude because I really like you, Katie. But she had to be fierce.
Thank
because
you,
we continue to talk about her. So she was fierce in some way and probably really gentle in others.
I mean, we live in a time now where you can be many things as a woman. You can be compassionate yet fierce. You can be vulnerable yet strong. You can be maternal yet objective. You can be all of those things. But I think Cleopatra number 7, I believe it's number 7. I believe you're right about that. Fun fact.
Yeah,
there were
I think it's Cleopatra number 7.
Cleopatra
there
before
were a bunch
the one that
before.
We all remember and that Elizabeth Taylor portrayed in the film and what have you.
The one that we talked about,
Or the one that we talk about, but she was probably living in a time where things were far more brutal. So trying to be a strong woman in a man's world, like
having
the
queen to deal with pharaohs.
Pretty tough. Yep. Pretty tough. She had to be pretty tough. And so many
in
women.
In some aspects, she had to be fierce, but in other aspects, I'm sure, you know, not during a wartime, that her people were completely at peace, or at least she was trying to get there. You know, and I don't even know how long she actually reigned. So, you know, it may have been a very short time period, but I'm thinking that time period was probably a little more peaceful than not.
I don't know. I don't know enough about the topic. What I do know is that many women who have been strong enough to stand in what has been for so long a man's world and to voice their opinion have had to deal with being criticized on many levels, including being crazy. And watch this segue. Speaking of crazy, or speaking of mentally disturbed, to be more correct.
Mentally disturbed women?
No. The Joker.
You got to make that segue.
Women being called crazy for having a brain, for having their own minds and speaking out,
right,
to crazy being actually termed mentally disturbed, because that's more correct, to speaking of the Joker,
right,
that is going to gross the projection is going to gross 1 billion global box office dollars.
Wow.
By this Friday, not even by this Sunday.
That's going to be its own record.
It is going to be its own
crazy
record. So we're very happy for Joaquin Phoenix, formerly known as Lee Phoenix, who I had the pleasure of meeting so young in my life. We took dance classes together, and he was always very, very deep.
Nice, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I took dance class with the whole Phoenix family. River, who we all miss, Rainbow, or Rain, she used to call herself, both, Liberty, Summer, and Leaf. And Leaf is now Joaquin. And I don't know exactly when that happened. I know that some of the children changed their names when River passed.
Right.
So that might have been what was up with that. But he is Venezuelan. Joaquin is Venezuelan, born to an American family, but he was born in Venezuela. And I think also Rainbow, if I'm not mistaken, or Liberty, one of the two, was also born in Venezuela because his parents were missionaries. And so he's always been incredibly deep and a bit shy, a very, very, very sweet kid, like unbelievably compassionate, very kind is what I got from him. His energy during that time, just very, very kind.
Oh,
River,
don't get me started.
Time.
Don't get me started on the Venezuelan stuff, because that makes him Venezuelan. If he was born in Venezuela, even though his parents are white, right?
Well, here's the thing. No, absolutely. I mean, I was born in Mexico, and a lot of people call me white. I don't even know how I feel about it anymore. But gringa. Exactly. I am both. I am a melting. Now, the difference with Joaquin, obviously, and the Phoenixes that were born in Venezuela, or anyone that maybe what circumstances might arise as maybe an army brat was born in another country. The difference is that my father, may he rest in peace, was Mexican. That's the difference. But
your dad was born in Mexico.
Yeah, my dad was born in Mexico, and I was also born in Mexico, and so therefore I am Mexican American, absolutely 100%.
But your mom was born in Peoria, or
my
raised
mother
in
was
that
born
area
in,
of Illinois.
Yes, my mother was born in Lewiston, Illinois. She is one of the whitest women I have ever known in my life. Clint Eastwood, apple pie, you know, down to it, down to the core. And so so obviously the continued culture shock that I live with is extraordinary, but I feel enriched as a human being, having the benefit of maybe having a little objectivity or a little more objectivity about human beings, about what really matters in this life, which by the way is love.
But then you understand, because Scott's trying to think. I mean, tell me that I'm overthinking this thing.
You're not.
You're
just not clarifying it correctly. Let me, with all due respect.
Yeah, are you going to try to clarify?
I'm going to give it a shot.
Good luck.
Here's what it is. All right, here's my attempt. We'll see what happens. And I would like to clarify that I don't know what Canada is called. Canada may just be Canada. I don't believe it's the United States of Canada, but it could be.
Because it's French. It was French owned, so I'm not sure what the deal, because they have provinces, right?
I'm just trying to clarify that I don't know. Yes, they do. They have Quebec and yes, exactly. But I'm just trying to clarify that when it comes to Canada,
like
we don't know.
States.
Those aren't separate countries within Canada. Those are states.
Or territories.
I believe they're territories, but my only point with Canada was that I don't know. I can speak of the United States and then south of the United States. Here's the thing that is so confusing. We're talking about the same, to me, and I agree with you on this, we're talking about the same continent, okay?
Right.
Everyone else is asked to define what part of the continent they belong in, and they have a separate name, meaning the continent is America. There's North America, Central America, and South America.
Well, North America's, but North America and South America, unless I'm wrong, Scott can correct me, or a geologist or someone, call me 347-989-0126. They are two separate continents. North America and South America?
I believe they are not two separate continents. I could be wrong as well, but I believe they are not two separate continents. It's a Western Hemisphere.
Okay, whatever.
And they are the same continent. They are defined by North America. Exactly. Here's
the
where,
Americas.
What,
let's just call them the Americas because it's a big wide band
of the land that's right here. Exactly. If we're talking about these conglomerates of states, okay, and this probably has to do with war. It probably has to do with separation of states and territories and areas of land and money is probably what it has to do with and how these names were created. But it is confusing because if this is one continent, which is America, and Mexico is a part of said continent and Argentina is a part of said continent, and so United States of Mexico, Estados Unidos Mexicanos, is the technical term for Mexico.
Let's just stick with North America and use Canada and Mexico, okay? Because leave Central America out and leave South America out.
Okay.
Just do North America because that's
exactly
my problem.
So,
I'm having a problem identifying where I actually come from. And I was born and raised in Illinois.
So here's what it is. Canada, I cannot speak clearly about, but I can go with just the United States of America and the United States of Mexico, because that is the technical term. Estados Unidos Mexicanos. Now, people
that
do not
is
say
the technical
generally.
Term.
Yes, but people don't say generally, but you're both right, because I will clarify that people don't say generally that they're from Estados Unidos Mexicanos. They say they're from Mexico. But that said, the Estados Unidos Mexicanos is a correct technical term for what Mexico is because it's different states. It's Sinaloa, it's Jalisco, it's Mexico DF, it's Estado de Mexico. It's just like the United States, only it is a series of states that form one. So if you're talking about a continent and everyone else has to define themselves as an individual name, and I'm gonna head just for a second without trying to freak you out, but I'm going to head into South America here to say just the words Argentina
or
Chile or Colombia or Venezuela. Everyone else has to define themselves, but the United States is the United States of the continent, while the rest of the countries or the United States of Mexico have to define themselves with a different name. So that's where it's confusing to me. It's like, if you will, it seems like the only truly legitimate land is the land that it's as if the United States is of America are the legitimate states of America, which is a continent. It could be interpreted that way. I'm not saying that's my interpretation. I'm saying for the sake of argument, it could be said. Why these other countries and United States within a country, which is United States of Mexico, have to pick their own name. The United States of America did not. It was able to use the name of the continent. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm trying to say. Like,
there you go.
I can't really I'm feeling offended that everybody else, not everybody, but a bunch of people that are from the United States, states in this section of North America are all like America and Americans and make America great again. I'm like, no, it's a whole thing. Then you got to make Canada great again too. And you got to make Mexico great again too. And you got to then go into Central America and Guatemala and Belize.
I've been around.
You got to keep Ecuador and then you got to go into South America and you got to be in Colombia and you got to make all of them great as well.
Well,
because
I can tell you one quick story. I was like 9 or 10 years old and a waiter working in one of my dad's hotels. He was a hotel, the supervising hotel administrator at that time for El Presidente Hotels and the El Presidente in Ensenada. I was there and he said to me in Spanish, "De dónde eres? Where are you from?" And I, you know, as a child, having been raised in the United States, I said, and I didn't know how to say United States in Spanish. I later learned it was Estados Unidos.
Estados
but at that
Unidos.
Time, I said, right. I said, I'm
hey,
from
listen
America.
To that gringo talk.
Yeah, Estados very Unidos. Nice. Very
anyway,
nice.
Sorry.
I said, I'm from sorry. America, which is, I'm from America, which you do hear a
right.
lot of Americans say. I'm American, I'm from
yep.
America. And he said to
yep.
me, and I was 9 years old, I never forgot this. He said, Mijita, todos somos de America. My dear, we're all from America that live on that continent. So there is that, and it does offend some Mexicans and South Americans when it would appear that maybe there might be an American out there that believes that they're, you know, they're the only ones that are properly from the Americas as Americans, because that's the name that they have, that we have adopted and we have been given. And so it is confusing, and it's confusing to Mexicans. It's confusing to South Americans who say, we're all from America. We're all Americans. Because it's the same continent. So they had to pick another name to define themselves. They are Argentinian. They are Mexican. They are Chilean. They are Peruvian. They are Colombian. But we define ourselves as Americans. We have adopted the name of the continent, where the rest of these countries have not. So that's where it's interesting. And there are people that I do know that from these countries that have been offended by that or confused by it or feel like, you know, they should then be able to call themselves Americans as well. So I get it. I totally get it. And I think that maybe that was a point that you were trying to make. And I get it. I think it's a valid point.
Thank you. I'm wondering
well,
what Scott feels about this.
Fair. Two against one is not fair.
Two against but, one is not
but
fair.
I do have
we're
to
both
say
overthinking.
That we are wrong, though, that they are two separate continents. North America and South America are two different continents.
And they
continents.
Are two separate.
They are?
Yeah, they are. That's
oh,
what
okay.
I thought.
Yeah,
yeah
they are.
That's,
I'm sorry.
That's what
I apologize
thought.
For my ignorance.
But that's okay. That's also my
it's
point.
It's still America.
Is like, okay, that it's still America. It was named
yeah.
after the Italian explorer. So,
right.
you know, they're both America. And Central
right.
America is
right.
America.
No, and then another little known fun fact is that Mexico is a part of North America. It's not a part of South America.
It's
a
not a part of South America. It's North
part
America.
Of South America because it's Spanish speaking, but it's North American. So I think that's what that gentleman said to me that day. That waiter that worked at that hotel. That was his point. He said, "I'm an American too because he is properly in the same continent of North America." So anyway, there's all that, but.
Scott has a point here that you're talking
oh, I'm
over,
sorry.
Katie.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. God forbid anybody ever do that.
Scott.
No, I didn't have any other point. My point was it was two against
oh.
one, but there are two Americas. That's all. We have 3 minutes left.
No.
We have 2 minutes left, and we have to talk about the Masked Singer
no,
last
you think
night. Did you guys see Masked
Singer? Katie's overthinking. No, I didn't see it. I don't know if Katie did. Did you see Masked Singer?
Well,
Katie?
We didn't get to
did we
talk
lose Katie?
About Tuesday because you guys were so happy about Sean Spicer. We never even got to talk about that since we weren't on the air Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, so I know. Sean Spicer got voted off. I now have my faith.
One of my favorites.
My faith in ABC and my faith in Dancing with the Stars is back. It's like, oh, yay, we now have just talent. On the show, so now we can make a proper decision instead of the garbage that we were watching Sean Spicer while he was dancing. It's horrible, just absolutely horrible.
Right.
Once again, got a bunch of sixes. Anyway, so
we
lost.
Well,
we
lost the
who?
Ladybug last night. Any guesses on who the ladybug was?
No. Who is it?
All right, spoiler alert out there. We're doing spoiler alert for last night's The Masked Singer. Ladybug went home last night, and I was surprised because she was a good singer, I thought. There was some good
right.
clues. There was a clue of England that threw a lot of people off. There was a clue of a bunch of different things.
Yeah, they were talking like
coat.
Baby Spice or something.
Right.
Weren't they saying
theme?
Stuff like that? Yeah.
Exactly. And it was Kelly Osbourne.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't even expect that.
I got to go back and watch now. Yeah, no, I didn't
expect
that. And she's actually got a good voice. And you know what? How could she not have a good voice? Come on, her dad's
well,
Aussie.
Oh, yeah, with Aussie. With Aussie.
I mean, come on. That DNA
well,
is
Barbarian,
inside of her.
Thank you for being special guest host today. I appreciate it, so I didn't have to talk. Thank you for being on the show.
Did Katie cut out? Because I can't hear her.
Let me see. Hold on. Oh.
No, I think she cut out.
No,
yeah,
we lost.
Thank
hold
you,
on.
Katie.
I can pull it back on.
For calling in.
Katie, you back on? Nope, we lost her. All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Katie Barbary, for being on. We're going to wrap up the week tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll be able to talk. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be on at 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern. Thank you, Mr. Craig Hurley, for running the show today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no problem. And seriously, go breathe some steam. Go gargle some salt water.
I will do
it'll
it.
Kill
guys,
off whatever's
we're out
there.
Here. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Peace.